Today's daf is Chulin daf Samech Aleph, and we are at the two dots, 22 lines from the bottom of daf Samech Amid Beis. So the beginning of today's daf is going to mirror yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf began with one line related to the sugya du jour. It was regarding the keresh that has one horn. The Braisa said that even though the simin of a chaya, one of them anyways, is karnayim, the keresh that doesn't have karnayim, only has karen, is considered a chaya. L'may nafkemina chel boy mutter. The chelav of the keresh is going to be mutter. And from there, the Gemara digressed and told us different divrei agada, initially related to the keresh, but ultimately digression and digression from the digression. The Gemara then, in the course of the daf, came up for breath again for a second, mentioned something that was related to the sugya that we're learning, did another digression. Today's daf is going to begin on that same note. We're going to have literally one line that is related to what it is we're discussing. And then, as you can see, just from looking at the Amid Gemara from here until the bottom of Daf Samech is going to be more Divrei Agad. So, Tehil Gemara, Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rava. Rav Chanan Bar Rava says in the Pasuk, Ach ezel loy soichlu mimalei hagera umimafrisei haparsa hashesua es hagama. So, we know that in order for an animal to be kosher, it has to have the two simanim of a kosher animal. It has to be malagera, and it has to be mafrisei parsa. The pasuk says that in the event that you have an animal that's not malagera, it's not mafrisei parsa, and then it throws in the word hashesua. So what does hashesua mean? So usually hashesua is thought of as an adjective that's describing the mafrisei parsa. Said Rav Chanan Bar Rava, hashesua birya bifnei atzmehi. It's actually a creature. So ach ezel lo yisoichlu mimali agero umimafrisei parsa hashesua. And by the way, next words in the pasuk, es hagamol. So it's hashesua and the gamol, but the shesua, like the gamol, is an animal. What is unique about this animal? Sheyesh lo shnei gabin. It has two backs, ushnei shidrois, and it has two spines. And that is this very unique creature that the Torah is describing when it mentions hashesua. Said Rav Chanan Bar Rava, continuing along, he said, v'chimoish Rabbeinu kinigi haya, oi balistery. He said, was Moish Rabbeinu a kinigi? Was he a hunter? Was he a balistery? Was he a archer? Was he a sniper? How did he even know that this animal existed? Said Rav Chanan Bar Rava, mikan tshuva lo'im ein toyer min hashamayim. This is a tshuva for those that claim ein toyer min hashamayim, because from the fact that you see that Moshe Rabbeinu was aware of such a creature, must be he was mekabel et misinai, because based on what he did for a living, based on his profession, there would be no way in the world for him to have known that this even existed. Because was he a kinigi? Was he a balistery? If he was a kinigi or a balistery, that's how he knew about it. But Moshe Rabbeinu clearly wasn't. So if he made it up, he could not have known this. Mikan tshuva la'omer ein toyer min hashamayim. Amri Rav Chizda l'Rav Tachliva Bar Avino. So Rav Chizda heard what Rav Chanan Bar Rava said, and he turns to Rav Tachliva Bar Avino, and he tells him, zil ksoiv kinigi ublistri ba'agadatech. So it seems that Rav Tachliva Bar Avino was a morad agada. He was involved in divrei agada, and he used to keep writings, like an Ein Yaakov almost, of different divrei agada. So Rav Chizda tells him, take down these two words. These are two good words, right? So if you're a speaker or a writer, sometimes you want to be able to pull a fancy word out of your pocket. So he said, this is a good one. Put an asterisk next to these. Kinigi and balistery are going to sound geschmack. Uparsha, and by the way, when you use the words, just make sure you explain them, because no one's going to know what you're talking about otherwise. But either way, this is Rav Chizda's little postscript to this memra, says the Gemara. On that note, so the digression, right, you always have to follow the paper trail when it comes to Divrei Agada. The digression is going to be based on that last line. Oh, we mentioned that. Let me tell you something else. The pasuk can say for Yeshua that says, Chamesha Sarnei Plishtim. It's talking about the five officers of Plishtim. Ha'azasi, Aza, Vohashdoidi, Vohashkeloini, Hagiti, Vohakroini, Vohavin. Faith the Gemara, the obvious kasha. Amma Chamisha, the pasuk prefaces by saying, oh, we're going to present to you now five Sarnei Plishtim. And then if you do the math, Vachashav Shisa. It's easy math. Hazasi, Hashdoidi, Hashkeloini, that's three. Hagiti, Akroini, Vohavin, that's six. So Pasach bechamisha v'sayim b'shisha. I'm Rabbi Yenison. It's Rabbi Yenison said, Arunki shalehem chamisha. The chashiv ones were only five. So there were six sarnei plishtim, but only five of them were arunki. And when Rav Chisda heard the word arunki, he did what he did in the previous Gemara. He turns to Rav Tachlifa bar Avino. Amalei Rav Chisda l'Rav Tachlifa bar Avino. K'soiv arunki ba'agadatech. That's a very good word. I think you should write that word down. Uparsha, but just again, make sure you explain it, because if you're going to use the word arunki, people might nod their heads, but no one's going to have any idea what it is you're talking about. Zok Gemara that we just mentioned now, the pasuk in Yeshua. Chamesh asarni plishtam azasi v'ashdoi v'ashkoleni agiti v'akoreni v'avim. Why did we mention it? Because there was a stira in the pasuk. Rabbi Yonison use the word arunki to explain, and Rav Chisda Torah Tachlifa bar Avino, write down the word arunki and explain it, right? Why we mention that? Oh, because in the previous Gemara, related to Arsugya, Hashesua, we use the words kinigi and blistery, and Rav Chisda Torah Tachlifa bar Avino wrote those two words down and explained it. But either way, we're digressing from a digression now. So you mention now this pasuk, specifically we mentioned the Avim. Says the Gemara, Upliga the Rav. This is not like Rav. The Omer Rav. Rav said, Avim mi Teman bo. The Avim came from Teman. Meaning, Rav answered the steer in the pasuk. Chameshes sarnei plishtim on the one hand, but then you do the math. Wazosi, Ashdoidi, Ashkoloni, Agiti, Akreni, Avim is really six. The teretz is not there are five arunkis, and go write the word arunki down. The teretz is there are five native plishtim. One of these groups came from Teman. They came from somewhere else. Which group? It's the Avim. A braisa that supports Rav, who holds that the Avim came from Teman. Avon mi Teman bo. Right? It's a pretty straightforward Tanya Namiyachi. Says Avin. The braisa continues and says, why were they called Avin? If anything, they should be called Temanim, right? They came from Teman. So why are they called Avin? So the braisa says three pshatim. First pshat is she'ifsu es mekamim. Because when they left their place, so they just left it. And then Chayes Ruas came afterwards and they destroyed it, and as a result, them leaving caused their homeland to be completely destroyed. Tavarachar, Avim, she'ivu leilohus arbe, because they had a taiva to worship many different types of avodah zarah, and the word Avim is miloshen taiva. By the way, Avim taiva would be with an aleph, not with an ayin, but we're corrupting the language a little bit, so Avim Ki'ilu with an aleph, miloshem taiva. What do they have a taiva for? What do they have a desire for? They have a desire for lava v'idazara. Davaracha, third pshan, avim shkolaroya oisam, oichsazai avis. Avis is miloshem fear. And any person that would see them would be overcome with a shrek. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, you want to know why they were so scary? Now, can't take this Gemara literally, say all the mefarshim, but just the words of the Gemara. V'islu shitsri dori shini l'chol chad v'chad. Because each one of these avim people had 16 rows of teeth. Exactly what that means, I'm not sure. I'm the Maral and the Marsha and all the Mefarshei Agada try to explain this, but the bottom line is this is another pshat of how you reconcile this apparent, blatant contradiction within the pasuk itself. It says Chamesha Sarnei Plishtim, and then when you count it, there's six. Azosi, Ashtoidi, Ashkeloni, Giti, Ekroinim, and Avim. And what emerges is we have two terutzim. The first terut says Rabbi Yonason. He said there were five chashiv ones, Arunki, Shalahem, Chamisha. The six wasn't so chashiv. The second terut says Rav. Rav says the Avin were living in Plishtim, but they didn't originally come from Plishtim. They originally came from Teman. So it's five Sarnei Plishtim, then native to the land. One is a Tzigikim and the Greeners. They came from some faraway place. They came from Teman. So we mentioned the Avin, which was our digression from our digression, and now we're up to the next digression. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Shimon ben Lakish said, "Harbi mikrois shen ruuyin listreif." There are many psukim in the Torah that are ruuyin listreif. Wow, they're ruuyin literally to be burned. Vehein hen gufei teres. Standing that, they're really gufei teres. So what does Rish Lakish mean? Rish Lakish means to say that if a person would look at the Torah without proper Yerushalayim, certain psukim he would say, there's no way this is min Hashemayim. There's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Sinai gave over this pasuk to Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no way that these psukim are divine. They seem to be so mundane. And as a result, ru'uyin lisraif, there's something that can be burnt. But Rish Lakish said, don't make that mistake. The hein hein gufei Torah. There's no such thing. Every single thing that's mentioned in the Torah is gufei Torah. And by the way, That's poshet, that on the Kabbalah level, every single word, every single letter in the Torah is Gufei Torah. The Ramban in his Akdamah Tespirah Shal HaTorah says that every single word in the Torah are Shmoisov Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this is even al Pinigla, even in Pshat, says Reish Lakish. There's nothing that's mentioned in the Torah that isn't critical. And then Reish Lakish went and he gave several examples, four to be exact. Here's the first. It says in the Pasuk, Veho'avim, Hayoishvim b'chatzerim ad asa. So why are we mentioning this? Because of the Avim, right? That's the segue from the previous Gemara. So the Pasuk says the Avim that were living in Chatzerim, and their area that they lived extended all the way out to Aza. The Pasuk continues and says, Kaftorim hayoitzem mikaftor hishmidon vayeshvu tachtam. And then the Kaftorim came and they wiped them out, and they lived where the Avin had previously lived. And says Reish Lakish, this is an example of a pasuk that's Ru'uyim Lisraif. Why? Because my nafkalach mina. Why do we care? Why do we care that the Avin used to live there and then the Kaftorim came and they whacked them out? Is that in any way of significance? Said Reish Lakish, yes. Hein gufei Torah. It's actually critical to understanding Poshit Pshat, the narrative of the Torah. This is a critical piece of information. Why? Because we know that Avimelech and Avram made a deal. What was their deal? They had this big peace treaty. In Tishkar li ulenini ulenechti. They made up that nobody was going to fight with each other for four generations. Ni Nechti, Nini, right? So four generations, no one's going to start with each other. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we have a little bit of a problem. Because the Yidden have to come into Eretz Yisrael. And it seems there were Nini and Nechtis of Avimelech that was still alive at the time. And if the Jews were going to come into Eretz Yisrael, and they were going to take over Gaza, right, that area where the Plishtim are living, well, we're going to have ourselves a little bit of an issue, because then the Yidden, Avraham Avinu's descendants, are going to violate the pact that they had made with Avimelech's descendants. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here's my idea. Let the Kaftorim come. Let them take out the Avim first, who are the Plishtim. And then they're not going to go. They're going to take away from the Kaftorim. So yeah, the fact that the Kaftorim defeated the Avim before the Jews arrived is very important. Because if the Avim were alive, then there would be no way for the Yidden to take over the land. And the reason is because they have an old deal. Right, that's something that they already signed off on. Imtishkar li ulenidni ulenechti. So says Reish Lakish, I'm telling you, is this not hein gufei Torah? So this feels like a pasuk that's ruin lisroif, but at the end of the day, this is something that's very, very important. Rashi makes a very obvious observation, actually a very long Rashi, which you don't usually find in these Agadot Gemaras, but Rashi says that it's clear that Reish Lakish didn't hold like Rav in the previous Gemara, and that is that the Avim were not native Plishtim. Because if the Avim are not native Plishtim, then why is there a problem for the Jews to knock out the Avim? L'chura, if they're not native Plishtim, that means they're not descendants of Avimelech, they're not Nini v'nechti of Avimelech, so there should be no issue for them to go ahead and take them out. The Teretz is that it's Muchach, the Reish Lakish held like Rabbi Yonasan in the previous Gemara, and that is that they were native Plishtim, and therefore the Yidden would not have been able to pick a fight with the Avim. That's why the Teretz says the Kaftorim first came, they took out the Avim, and the Yidden took out the Kaftorim. Like, this was okay. Says the Gemara, Kiyetzib Davarata Imran. This is the second example that Reish Lakish gives, and this is more famous. Ki Cheshboin Ir Sichoin Melech Amoyrihi. This was last week's parasha. V'hu Nilcham B'melech Moyav. So, Sichoin, who was Melech HaMayri, he defeated Moyav. Says Reish Lakish, at first glance, he would say, my nafkamina, who cares? You know, when you read about the wars and the life and times of Sichon Melech HaMayri, you know, chapter, Roman numeral something, you'll read a little bit about this war. Why is that significant? Why would this be in the Torah? L'chura, these are psukim that you would think were Ru'uyin Lisraif. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Klai Yisrael, Al Tatsar Es Moyav, and the end of the passage is, Val Tiskor Bam Milch. The Yidden were told that they're not allowed to pick a fight with Moav. So if they're not allowed to pick a fight with Moav, so how are the Yidden going to make it through Eretz Yisrael? You're going to have to go through the land of Moav. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, leisei Sichon, leipek mi Moav. Let Sichon Melech HaMayri go. Let him conquer the land of Moav, so that now it's not the Moabites that are living anymore in Moav. Leisei Yisrael, leafkim mi Sichon. The Yidden would be able to go, and they'd be able to take it away from Sichon. Amar Rapapa, and this is where Rapapa famously said, Amoin uMoav tiaru beSichon. That the land of Amun and the land of Moav, they were tiaru, they became cleansed and washed al yedei Sichon. What does it mean? that Sichon washed them, cleansed them, he cleansed them, made them conquerable by the Jews. Because had Sichon not taken over the land, the Jews could not have taken over the land. Because you can't go straight to Amon Amoyev. But once Sichon conquers the land, so now you're not picking a fight with Amon Amoyev, now you're picking a fight with Sichon. Sichon is not off limits. As a result, Amon Amoyev, Tiaroi B'Sichon. A third example that Reish Lakish gave of a pasuk that at first glance seems almost like, why is it here? But really, v'hein hein gufei Torah. And this is a pasuk in Parshas Devarim. The pasuk says, Sidonim yikru lechermoin sirion. And the end of the pasuk is, v'amoyri yikru lois sinir. So the chermoin is the hara chermon, right? That chermon. That's what the pasuk is referring to. And it says that the Sidonim and v'amoyri, they lived on the banks of the chermon. And they each gave, at first glance, the mountain a different name. The Tzidonim referred to it as Sirion, and the Amori referred to it as Sneer. Stating that, the Gemara is going to bring a price that's going to tell us the rest of the story. Tano, Sneer, V'Sirion, Mehari Eretz Yisrael. Number one, these names, Sneer and Sirion, were not made up names by the Tzidonim and by the Amori respectively. But these were old names. In fact, these are the names of existing mountains in Eretz Yisrael. And Malame, you know what this pasuk is teaching us? That each one of these nations went and they built their own krach. Rashi says they built it on the bottom of the slope of the mountain. So on Har HaCharmon, they each built a little city. So the Tzidonim are on one side. On the side of the Hermon that they are, on the mountain, on the bottom of the slope, they build a city. And the Amori is on the other side, and they do the same thing. And now they had to name their city. V'heloloi al shem hori Eretz Yisrael. And the names that they gave their cities was names that had already existed. These were names of Hori Yisrael. And what's the significance of this pasuk? L'lamedcha sh'afilu Hori Eretz Yisrael chavivin al umay sa'olam. And that's really the lesson that this pasuk is coming to teach me. It's not superfluous. We want you to understand how much the umay sa'olam even loved Eretz Yisrael. What it means, chibas Eretz Yisrael. Sh'afilu Hori Eretz Yisrael chavivin al umay sa'olam. Even umay sa'olam. Even the Harim have what? They have Chibas Eretz Yisrael. And that's the point of this pasuk. So again, it's not that they named the mountain. The Hermon remained the Hermon Adayim Azeh. But what they named was the cities that they had created on the bottom of the slopes of the Hermon. And they named it after mountains in Eretz Yisrael. What's the lesson? Chibas Eretz Yisrael. K'yoytzabai. Here's the fourth example. And this example takes us to Sefer Bereishis, something that we learned together in Chumash here. That's Ha'am Hever Oysay La'arim. And the end of the pasuk is Miktzeik Vomitzrayim V'ad Kotzeo. So these are a few psukim tucked away in Parshas Vayigash, where the pasuk says that Yosef HaTzadik, when he's being boss of Egypt, so one of the things he does is he starts transplanting everybody, right? So if you lived in this zip code, now you're going to live on that zip code. You lived on the east coast, now you're living on the west coast. You lived in the north, now we're going to put you in the south. Everybody gets thrown around. And if you remember, Rashi and Chumash says a pshat. Why Yosef HaTzadik did this? It's this gemara that we're about to learn. My nafkamina. Number one, why Yosef do it? And even more importantly, why are you telling me this? Why is this important for me to know? So the gemara says, we're trying to bring out the sensitivity that Yosef HaTzadik had to his brothers, which is a chiddush nifla, because let's be honest, right? And afilu hachi, Yosef was incredibly sensitive to the feelings of his brothers. And what was the sensitivity? He knew his brothers were going to come and they were going to feel like strangers because they're foreigners. And, it's not kishmak sometimes to be a stranger. So what does Yosef HaTzadik do? He makes everybody move. It's like this, everybody feels it. Oh, you're new to the neighborhood? Wow, so am I, right? Why am I bringing you a brownie cake? You should bring me one, right? We all literally just moved in this last weekend. Like, the Kulach of Galvasa, so the brothers shouldn't feel like they're strangers. That's why Yosef HaTzadik goes. He mixes everybody up. It was a sensitivity. Again, Amar Reish Lakish, classic Gemara. Harbe Mikrois Sheruyan Lisroif. There are many psukim that you would think are Ruyan Lisroif, stating that the Hein Hein Gufei. And then Reish Lakish went ahead and Reish Lakish gave four examples. Why do I care that the Kaftorim went and took out the Avim? I'm going to tell you why. Because the Avim, not like Rav said in the previous Gemara, are descendants from Avimelech. And the Yidden could have never taken Avimelech's descendants out because there was a pact. The Teretz is the Kaftorim took out the Avim first. The Kaftarim are not descendants of Avimelech. That's why the Jews are able to take over Gaza. Otherwise, this is not something that they would have been able to do. The second example was, Ki cheshbein ir sichon melecha moirihiv hu nilcham bemelech moyev. Like, who cares? Why do I care that sichon took over moyev? I'll tell you why. Because the Yidden were told that Tatzar is moyev val tisker ba milchama. So sichon went and took them out first. And this is what Rapapa meant when he said, Amoin umoyav tiaru besichon. Again, another example of where this is so important. The third example was a pasuk in Parshas Devarim. The Tzidonim referred to the Hermon as Syria, and the Amori referred to it as Sneer. They didn't rename the mountain. They created cities on the foot of the respective mountain, one on one side, the other on the other side, and they named the cities after other Hare Yisrael. What's the message? Chibas Eretz Yisrael. L'lametcha sha'afilu Hare Eretz Yisrael chaviven al umo Yisraelim. And the last one was Yosef HaTzadik started mixing everybody up. Like, why did he do that? Why did he transplant everybody that was living in Egypt? It was out of a sensitivity to his brothers to show the incredible midas toivus of Yosef HaTzadik. Instead of taking revenge, instead of being sensitive, he was sensitive to them, right? That was the greatness of Yosef HaTzadik, and that's the limud that we learn from there. I saw Reb Reuven Margolis in his Sefer Netzut Zayar. He said, what did Rish Lakish mean when he said, Harbe Mekroy Sheruyin Listroif? That's a harsh lashon, Ruyin Listroif. Okay, you're questioning why this pasuk is here. You're even suggesting that whatever, some form of kfira. But what does it mean? Harbe mikrois sheruyin listroif. So he says that it could be the pshat is that there's a perik in Shas called perik kol kisve, 16th perik in Masechta Shabbos. And the halach is that if there's a fire on Shabbos, you're not let it go and be matzel things from the fire, with the exception of very few things. One of the things that you're allowed to save is kisve kodesh. Reish Lakish, harbe mikrois sheruyin listroif. These psukim, you would have thought that if there was a fire on Shabbos, that maybe Ruy and Lisra, if you have to let them burn, they're not considered Kisvei Kodesh. Ein Matzilin Oysoim Ipnei Adeleiko. Zok Reish Lakish Vehein Hein Gufei Torah. They're included in the Kol Kisvei. They have the same Madrega Saktusha like all the other Ksavim have. He said, you talking that is what Reish Lakish meant when he said that Lashon Ruy and Lisar. Yeah, you can let it burn. See the beginning of Perek Kol Kisvei, that's what's going on over here. Either way, as it relates to us, we now return to our regular program. It's a short daf that's going to go back to really the sugya de jour. We're going to put the agadot on hold until the rate. And then Be'ez Hashem will come back to it. Maybe we'll do it again tomorrow. I think we're going to try to milk, pun intended, the agadot on daf samach as long as we possibly can. But either way, so going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah, which was on Daf Nun Tes and Aleph, began Simone Behema V'chaya Nemru Min HaTorah. The Simonim of a kosher Behema and a kosher Chaya are mentioned in the Torah. Right, it's easy. Maligera and Mafreses Parsa. The Simone Ha'oif Loi Nemru. However, as it relates to the Simonim of an Oif, there's no mention of Simonim of an Oif. The Torah mentions 24 Oifas that are talking, but doesn't say anything about, like, what the Simon is, what's the common denominator, if there even is one, of those 24 Oifas. Stating that, says the Mishnah, but the rabbis came along, and they gave Simonim, in fact, they gave four Simonim. They said, "Kol Oif ha-doyreis tame." An Oif that's doyreis is tame. In other words, an oif that's not doyres is a simin of tahira. Kol sheyesh loy etzba yisera, an oif that has an extra finger that we spoke a little bit about. Vizefek, an oif that has a crop. We spoke a lot about that. Vikurkavanoi, the heilige kurkavan niklof, is able to be peeled. Tar is also tar. So although in the Torah itself, we don't have the simonim of an oif tar. However, the Chachamim gave us four simonim. The Chachamim told us that an oif that einoy doyres is a simon of tahira. An oif that has an etzbe yaseir is a simon of tahira. An oif that has a zefek is a simon of tahira. And kurkavane niklof is also a simon of tahira. Then the Gemara brings another sheet that relates to Rav Tzadik Omer, kol oif achilek is raglav tamihu, which is something that's going to be spoken about as well. But the bottom line is, the Torah itself doesn't Mefurish mention the simone tahira of an oif. Avol amru chacham. The chachamim came up with what exactly they believe are the simonim of an oif tar. Now, the chacham didn't make it up, right? The chachamim extrapolated it from the Torah somehow. And the Gemara now is going to begin really with the kasha. And that is that to the extent that the Chachamim extrapolated their simonim from the Torah, that means the Torah told it to you. So maybe the Torah didn't tell it to you in Bak Tzener, but obviously the Torah told it to you. The Chachamim didn't make it up, right? They don't have a license to do that. So it must come somewhere from the Torah. So to the extent that it came somewhere from the Torah, so didn't the Torah mention it? So that is the background of what the Gemara is about to discuss. So simonei ha'oif lo nemar. Faith the Gemara, is that true? Are the simonim of an oif Torah not mentioned Torah? Tanya, we're learning to the Braisa, nesher. So the Torah goes through the 24 oifas that are tameh, and one of them that it mentions is the nesher. Now, there's a very well-known academic debate in terms of what exactly the Nesher is, but the popular translation of the Nesher, of course, is the eagle, right? So we'll go with that. So fake the Gemara, we don't tell a Braisa that the Nesher is mentioned as one of the 24 oifos that are tameh, and we learn from there, this is the Braisa talking, Ma Nesher miyuchid she'in lo yetzbi yaseiro. The eagle is unique that it doesn't have that extra etzba. The zefek, it doesn't have a zefek. The ein kurkavanei niklof, its kurkavan can't be peeled. The doyreis v'oichel, and it is a doyreis, tameh, and it's tameh. Af kol keyotzebe tameh. So too, anything that is such that it meets these four simonim is going to be tameh as well. So the nesher is 0-4. Doesn't have any of the simonei tahira. Doesn't have the etzbi yaseira. It doesn't have the zefek. Its kurkavan can't be peeled, and it's a doyreis va'oichel. So too, anything that's like the nesher is going to be tameh. Now the Braisa continues, and the Braisa says, Toirin. The Torah mentions Toirin as an example of an oif that's tar. Now, what does the Torah mention that the Toirin are tar? First of all, the Toirin are one of two types of birds that are allowed to go on the Mizbeach, right? It's the Yoina and the Toirin, the turtle doves. Now, the Toirin, if you take a look at that, it's Yeshlam Etzbi Yaseira. It has the Etzbi Yaseira. Vizefik, it has the crop. The Kurkavan and Niklov, and the Kurkavan can be peeled. The Ein Daris V'Oichel, and it's not a Daris V'Oichel. Toirin and it's tar. Avkol Kayoitzeben, Toirin is going to be tar. The bottom line is, the Braisa says that let's take an example of an oif tameh, and let's take an example of an oif tahar, and let's put them one against the other, and let's see if we can come up with some pattern of what the Torah is being sensitive to when it tells us what's tameh and what's tahar. Well, I see four things that differentiate the tummy and the tahar, the nesher and the turin respectively. The nesher doesn't have that spi yaseira, or the turin does. The nesher doesn't have a zefek, the turin does. The nesher's kurkavan is not niklof, the turin's kurkavan is niklof. And the nesher's a deiris v'oichel, as opposed to the turin is an ene deiris v'oichel. Oh, there you have it. These must be the four simonim of tumah and tahar as it relates to a knife. The nesher is tameh because it's 0-4, and the turin are tar because they're 4-4. By the way, what if you're 1-4? Or 2-4, 3-4. You had a pretty good day if you're 3-4, right? But let's say you're 1-4, 2-4, 3-4. What's going to be then? So the Gemara is going to discuss it. This is the whole remainder of the daf. Some daf zechalt and ruag abyssal. But for now, it's a mefurish braisa that the braisa extrapolates from the examples of nesher and toirin that there are simonim of a knife. Sefreit the Gemara Kasha, how could you tell me that the simon of the Chai Behema mentioned the Torah, but the simonim of the oif are not? I understand they're not mentioned mefurish in the Torah, but of course they're mentioned. This is classic Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshus Mem. This is even more than that. You just sit down and look at the Nesher, look at the Torah, and you're going to figure out exactly what's going on. Amar Abayas, Abayas said Erchinami. What the Mishnah meant when it said that it's not mentioned mefurish in the Torah, it's all from the Chachamim, what the Mishnah meant was Leinema Peirusha Medivrei Torah El Medivrei Seifer. As it relates to the simonim of a behem and a chaya, even the dog game, right? All you have to know is how to teach words in the Torah. So if you know what Maligeir is, and then you know what Mafresas Paris is, so you have your simon. There's no limudim, you don't need your thumbs for this, right? You don't need the drushes chazal, as opposed to here, this is already a little bit of a cheshbon. And as a result, being that the Pirish over here was something that required real divrei seifrim, that's all the Mishnah meant. So again, when the Mishnah started and said simoni be mechay v'if nemru na teiro, v'simoni oif le nemru, it sounded a little bit like the whole simoni oif is rabbinic 100% in nature. The Teretz says that's not the case. Of course, it comes from the Torah, but it requires pirish from divrei seifrim to understand and to come to it, and that's all the Mishnah meant when it said that simoni oif aloi nemru Aval Amru Chachamim, but this is something that came from the Chachamim. Either way, Zok the Gemara, another Braisa that talks about Oifes. And now we're going to start getting into what happens if an Oif has one Simon, or two Simonim, or three Simonim. Tani Rab Chia, taught in a Braisa. So Rab Chia is one of the most famous authors, quote unquote, using that word loosely, but one of the most famous authors of the Braisa. So Rab Chia had a Braisa, Oif HaBab Simon Echad, an Oif that has one Simon, meaning one Simon of Tahira. So it checks off one of the four boxes that make an Oif Tahar. So the Halach is Tar, it's going to be Tar. And the reason is, because it's not similar to the Nesha. How so? Nesha, the less late cloud of the Seichel. The Nesha we said is over for, right? The Nesha doesn't meet any of the Simone Tairo, and that's why you're not allowed to eat it. But if you have an oif that has one of the Simonim of Tahira, that would be enough. So if you go one for four, you're going to be tar. That's what Rab Chia said in his Braisa. And what was his Makar? He said, very simple. Because what's to me the paradigm of the oif Tameh? It's the Nesha. The Nesher is 0 for 4. Oh, so if you're 1 for 4, you're better than the Nesher. And the minute you're better than the Nesher, you're going to be taught. Faith the Gemara, V'leilof mitayim. How do you know to learn from the Nesher that only 0 for 4 is Tameh, which means 1 for 4, 2 for 4, 3 for 4 is going to be Tahar, maybe Fakar. Maybe learn from the Torin, which is the paradigm of the Tahar Oif. It's Neymat Torin, the Ikka Kulu Arba. You're going to be Tahar if you're 4 for 4. So as it relates to an Oif that has a Simen Echad of Tahar, that went only 1 for 4. So maybe over there you're going to be Tameh. Zok the Gemara can't be, because Imkain, if that's the case, Shar oifos tmeim, the cause of Rachmano Lamali. If you're going to tell me that if you go 1 for 4, you're already going to be tame, so why would the Torah have to mention all the oifos that are tame, where some of them have some of the simonim of Tahira? It doesn't make sense why you would have to mention them. In other words, Bishloim, if you're going to tell me that the minute you have one simon of Tahira, you're already Tahar. So if you go through the list of all the oifas that the Torah mentions as being Tameh, even though some of them have one simon, two simon, three simonim, the Torah has to tell you they're Tameh, because if the Torah wouldn't tell you you're Tameh, you would think they're Tahar, because they have some of the simonim of the Torah. They're not like the Nesher, and therefore I would have thought they're Tahar. Kamash Malon, these oifas are unique, that these oifas are going to be Tameh. If, however, you're going to tell me that the only time you're ever Tahar is if you dum you do a Tahar, so if you go through the list of the 24 oifas that are mentioned, well, that list has a whole bunch of oifas that don't meet the criteria. None of those oifas go 4 for 4. So why did I even mention them? If you're going to tell me the only time you tar is if you dum you to the tar that you go 4 for 4, well, that whole list, nobody goes 4 for 4 over there. So why are you even mentioning them? Shar oifas tmeim, the kasar rachmana lovely. It doesn't make any sense. Again, bishlam, if you're going to tell me that as long as you have one simen, you're tahar, so therefore the Torah mentioned the list of 24, all of which have some simonim of Tahira, to tell me that even though based on the rule of Dumya Dinesha they should be tar, kamash one, that they're going to be tar. But if you're going to tell me that the only time you're tar is that when you go 4 for 4, none of the things mentioned on the list go 4 for 4. So why do you have to tell me that they're tar? It's muchach that the criteria is the Nesher. The Nesher is 0 for 4 and it's Tameh. Anything that's better than 0 for 4 is going to be Tahar. Zok to Torah, I'm going to tell you 24 Oifos that are not 0 for 4, which means based on the rule of Dumya the Nesher, you would think that they should really be Tahar. And Afilu Hachi Kamash Malon, I'm letting you know that they're going to be Tameh. Either way, this is the first part of this Gemara. So again, the Gemara said as follows, that inasmuch as the Mishnah said that the simonim of an oif tar and an oif tameh are not mentioned in the Torah, but at the same time, it really comes from the Torah. The Torah mentions the nesher as being an oif tameh, the Torah mentions Torin as being oif tahar. And if you plot the nesher keneged the Torah, you're going to see four things that they don't share in common. And those go down as the four simonim as it relates to an oif. The Nesher has all four of the simonim of the Tumah, and the Torah have all four of the simonim of the Torah. The Nesher is the paradigm of the Oif Tameh, and the Torah are the paradigm of the Oif Tar. Said Rav Chiya, what would be if you're not the Nesher, but you're not the Tar? So you're not the Nesher, you don't have all four simanim of Tumah. You don't have zero simanim of Tyra. You didn't go 0 for 4, but you're also not the Torah. You don't have all four simanim of Tyra. You also didn't go 4 for 4. So what would be over there? So Rav Chiya addressed it in the Braisna. Rav Chiya said that as long as you go 1 for 4, Oif Abab is Simen Echad, at that point, you're already going to be Tar. And the reason is because you're not doing it to the Nesher. At the end of the day, as it relates to, is the Nesher the basis from where this all emerges, or is it the Torah? It's the Nesha. The Nesha is 0 for 4 and it's Tameh. If you're 0 for 4, you're going to be Tameh. But if you're anything more than that, you're going to be Tar. Maybe if I care, maybe the Torah should be. And we should say that, oh, it's all about what the Torah are. The Torah are 4 for 4 and it's Tar. You better be 4 for 4. But if even one time you missed, well, in that instance, you're going to be Tameh. So the Gemara says, I hear, based on just picking and choosing between the Nesher and the Torah, I have no real way of being Machriya. I can't tell you why I prefer the Melamed to be the Nesher versus the Melamed being the Torah, but I will tell you that it's way more reasonable to assume that we're coming from the Nesher. You know why? Because the Torah mentions 24 Oifis that are Tameh. And if you go through the 24 Oifis, one of them is the Nesher goes 0 for 4. Nesher doesn't have any simonim of Tyra. But the other 23 all have simonim of Tyra, as we'll see. Some have more, some have less. By the end of the Gemara, we'll have the breakdown. But for now, all of them have some simonim of Tyra. If you're going to tell me that an oif that has one simon of Tyra, the etzim should be tahar, then I understand why the Torah would have to tell me it's tameh. But if you're going to tell me that we learn from Torah that the halach is you have to have all four simanim of Torah, well, none of those have all four simanim of Torah, so why would the Torah have to tell me that they're tameh? I know they're tameh because they're not dumya the Torah. Elamai must be the general rule is dumya the Nesher, and if you have one simon of Tyra, that would be enough for you to be Tahar. Kamash Malan, those 23 things, even though they all have at the very least one simon of Tyra, some have two, some have three. But the point is, afilu hachi, the halach is that they are going to be Tameh. But the Gemara asks another kasha. Now, this next kasha is a little bit tricky because it's going to feel a lot like the previous kasha that we just asked. And it almost is. Faith the Gemara, v'nelef minayo. Why don't we learn from all those other oifes that are mentioned in the Torah as being tameh, despite the fact that they have some simanim of Torah, because we mentioned all other 23, with the exception of the Nesher, have some simanim of Torah, some one, some two, some three. But why don't we learn from there that even if you have some simanim of Torah, you could still be tameh, and therefore the halacha should be that the only time you're going to be tar is if you have all of the simanim of Torah, and it shouldn't be enough for you to have just the sum of the amount of Tyre. Now, this is very similar to the Gemara's Kasha of Velelef Mitarin, but it's not the same Kasha. The Gemara's Kasha of Velelef Mitarin is learning from the Tar. So the Gemara, no, I'm not learning from the Tar. Okay, so you want to learn from the Tar, but learn it from the Oifis that are Tar. So not learn it from the Oif Tar, that's the Tar, that's 4 for 4, so too you have to go 4 for 4, but learn it from the Oifis that are Tmeim, that all have some simanim of Tyra. Some go 1 for 4, 2 for 4, and 3 for 4, and yet they're all Tameh. Which means we'll back in to the fact that the only time you could ever be Tar is if you taka go 4 for 4. So again, it's a very similar kasha, but it's not the Leilif mitoirim, it's the Neilif from the other Oifis that are Tameh. And as we'll see, it's going to be a little wordy now, but the Gemara essentially is going to give the same teretz that it gave to the Neilif Mitoirim. Right, what was the Kasha, the Leilif Mitoirim? What was the teretz to the Kasha, the Leilif Mitoirim? Imkein, Shar Oifis Tmeim, the Kasa Rachman Olamale. Right, that's essentially what the Gemara is going to end up saying, but let's see it inside. The Neilif Minai, why don't we learn from all the other Oifis and we say, Mahasam Tlasa, V'lo Yachlina, Nafko Tlasa, V'lo Necha. Why don't we say that just like over there, there are many oifos that have three simonim of Tyra. As a matter of fact, the Gemara is going to say, of the 24 oifos that are Tmeim, 20 of them have three simonim of Tyra. So why don't we say that just like many of them, right? It's 20, literally, have three of the simonim of Tyra, and so you're not allowed to eat it. So too, any oif that has even three simonim of Tyra, it goes 3 for 4, it should be Tamei. V'kolshken, trey, if you go 2 for 4, v'chad, certainly if you only go 1 for 4, but the Gemara says, imkein, if that's true, if you're telling me that if you go 3 for 4, the halacha is that
you're going to be tame because you're not four for four because, right, you didn't check off all four boxes. Well, if that's the case, Oirev the Kosev Rachman Olam. So why do Torah have to tell me the Oirev? The Oirev is an example of an Oif that goes two for four. It has two simonim of Torah and it has two simonim of Tumah. And what's the kasha? Hashto the Islay Tlosalei Achlina. If you're going to tell me that where an Oif has three simonim of Torah, the Alach is not allowed to eat it. This Lay Tremi Baya. If it only has two simonim of Torah, then certainly you should not be allowed to eat it. So you can't tell me that 3 for 4 is tame, because if 3 for 4 is tame, then 2 for 4 is certainly going to be tame. So why do you have to tell me? Says why don't we say, okay, you're right. You can't learn from the 20 that are 3 for 4 and tame that 3 for 4 is generally tame, with the exception of the 20 that the Torah says is tame, because then why would Torah tell me Oirev? Say, okay, so let's learn from the Oirev. Ma hasim trei le'af kol trei. At the very least, if you're only 2 for 4, you only have 2 simanim of Torah, you should be tame. But imkain, if that's the case, peres va'oznia, the kasav rachman olamalei. So the peres and the oznia are two of those 24. They're the other two. And the peres and the oznia all go 1 for 4. So they have 1 simin of Torah. If you're going to tell me that 2 for 4 is tame, then certainly 1 for 4 is tame. Okay, 1 for 4 meaning 1 simin of Torah. So why do I have to tell him Paris Vasnia? Hash this late shmei leyachlinon. If you have 2 simanim of Tyre, you're not allowed to eat it. The islay chad mi baya. And certainly if you have 1, you shouldn't be able to eat it. Somewhere else says, I hear. But at the very least, Venigma mi Paris Vasnia. Let's learn from Paris Vasnia. Paris Vasnia is 1 for 4 and it's tame. So maybe if you have 1 simin of Tyre, you should be tame, which is not like what Reb Chiya said. Reb Chiya said 1 simin is tar. Why do we learn from the Paris Vasnia that 1 simin is going to be tame? Okay, Nash the Kasrach Manalamali. Well, if that's the case, why the Tyre tell me Nash? Hash this late chad leyachlinon. If it has 1 simon of Tyre, now let it eat. Less than like Klam Yibaya. So certainly if it has 0 simon, now let it eat it. Elo, Zach the Gemara, Neshe, the less like Klal, who the like Techel, the is like Techel. It has to be that the paradigm is the Nesher. The Nesher, Tyre had to say, can't have less than 0. And it's Dafka when you have 0 that the Allah is, they now let it eat it. But if you have 1 simon of Tyre, certainly if you have 2, certainly you have 3, and certainly Ben Benoishel, certainly if you have 4. Then the halacha is, it's going to be tar. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is the only way to make sense of why the Torah would give me this list of 24, some of which have 1 simon of Torah, 2, 3, is if the halacha is that once you have 1 simon of Torah, at that point, you're allowed to eat it. Therefore, the Torah has to single out certain oifas that have that 1 simon, or the 2 or the 3, right? 20 of them even have 3, and tell me that despite the fact that they have simonim afilu achi, they are going to be tummy. Because if you're going to tell me that the only time you're allowed to eat it is when it has all 4 simonim, then this whole list really doesn't make any sense. Now, the truth is, there's a tais over here. We're not going to go into this. This Gemara is tricky enough without taisus, but there is, that's pasha, the Torah would have to tell me the nesher. The reason it's pasha, the Torah would have to tell me the nesher, is because it's only through the Nesher that I knew what the Simani Tyra was, right? Had I known what the Simani Tyra was, because Torah told me the Nesher, and the Torah told me the Torah, and I plotted one against the other, and I said, interesting. Let's make some observations, right? I see this is Korkivan as Niklov, this is not Niklov, this is Dairus Feichel, this is not Dairus Feichel, this has a crop, this doesn't have a crop. I was able to back in and figure it out, so the Torah would have told me the Nesher. But at the end of the day, why do I need to know about all those other birds that they're Tomei? I know they're Tomei because they all are not like the Torah. Elamai, the paradigm is not the Torah, it's the Nesher. Nesher is 0 for 4, doesn't have any simanim of Torah. If I have 1 or 2 or 3, the halach is, it's going to be tar. The Gemara now is just going to shtelzach on one little kinech. So the Gemara said that v'nigma mi peres v'aznia, right? The Gemara had a kasha, why don't we learn from the peres and the oznia? That what? The peres and the oznia go 1 for 4. And the Torah says they're Tameh. They have 1 of the simanim of a Torah. So let's learn from there that anything that only has 1 simon at the very least should be Tameh. Right, 2 for 4, 3 for 4, Beseda. That we, Mayashiv, that's going to be Tameh. But if you only have 1 simon of Torah, why do we learn from there that you're going to be Tameh? So the Gemara said, if 1 simon is enough to make you already Tameh, so then Nesher the Kasav Rachman Olamli. So why would the Torah have to tell me Nesher? Says the Gemara. Ve'el, time of the Kasav Rachman Nesher. The only reason we don't learn from the Paris and the Ozniyah that 1 for 4, 1 simit of Torah is really Tumah is because the Torah wrote the Nesher. Halav Hachi, had the Torah not written the Nesher, Hava Mina, I would have thought Leilaf me Paris and Ozniyah. You shall learn it from the Paris and the Ozniyah. Ve'el, the Gemara Geshmak Akasha. Havale Paris and Ozniyah, Shnei Ksuvim Abon Kechad. Why don't we say that the Paris and the Ozniyah are Shnei Ksuvim Abon Kechad? Shnei Ksuvim Abon Kechad, Emil Amden. Right, we know the rule. The rule is that Shnei Ksuvim Abon Kechad. echad im malam. The Torah tells you something once, you can learn from it. If Torah tells you something twice, you can't learn from it. And the reason is because if you're able to learn from the fact that the Torah told me, is why it told me twice. The second one should be learned from the first. So from the fact Terry tells me something twice, that's a raya that I can learn from it. This is what's known as shnei k'suvim aban kechet emalam. Frey Tegmar, what was the hava mina to learn from the Paris and Dosnia? I need nesher to tell me that you can't. I can't learn from the Paris Vaznia because the Paris and the Paris is Tame, or only Tame that Dosnia is Tame. So I would say, oh, the Paris has one simon of Tyre, it's Tame. Oh, Dosnia has one simon. Say it there. But if the Torah tells it to me twice, I can't learn from it. Because if one simon of Tyra is not enough, and that's really Tameh, well, if that's the case, then why do you have to tell it to me twice? Tell it to me once, and I'll know the second time. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because Gemiri, the Ikabahai, Leka Bahai, or the Ikabahai, Leka Bahai. Although the Paris and Dosnia each have one simon of Tyra, but they don't have the same simon. And being that they don't have the same simon, that's why Torah had to tell it to me. Torah had to tell me that this simon of Tyra is not enough for it to be Tahar, and that simon of Tyra is not. If it was the same simon of Tyra, you'd be right. Oh, but Gemiri, the Ikabahai, Leka Bahai, Ikabahai, Leka Bahai, and as a result, this is not a Shnei Xum Bonkach. But the Gemara says, how's that possible? Mechti, Esrim Baba, Oifis Tmeim Ha. There are 24 oifas that are tummy. And they all have some simon of Tyre, with the exception of the Nesher. You're going to tell me that the Paris and the Aznia are somehow unique, that one of them has, right, at least one of them, has a simon of Tyre that nothing else has, and as a result, it's not a Sheikh Suvim Aban Kechad? It's impossible. It's inevitable. V'avu Sheikh Suvim Aban Kechad. For sure, this is a Sheikh Suvim Aban Kechad. So the Gemara says, let me explain. Gemiri. This is the same Gemiri of 2 lines ago. Esrim v'abba oifas tmeim hava. There are 24 oifas tmeim. V'abba simonim. And there are 4 simonim of Tyre. Tlosa, Hadri, Bikulu. 3 of them are by all. What does that mean by all? So it's not literally by all. The Gemara explains. Esri mehem shloisha shloisha. Of the 24, 20 of them have 3 simonim of Tyra. Utrei, and it's not just 3, the same 3. Utrei ba'oirev. The oirev has 2 of those 3. Chad beperes, the chad ba'aznia. And as it relates to the Paris and the Aznia, they each have 1. So again, there's 24. 20 of them have 3 simonim of Tyra, the same 3 simonim of Tyra. The Oirev has 2 simonim of Tyra. The 2 simonim that it has is 2 of the 3 that we said 20 of the Oifas have. Then you have the Paris and the Aznia. Each has 1. But here's the Chiddush. As it relates to the 1 of the Paris and the Aznia, we don't know which is which. Maybe we have to look at Rabbi Margolis Hashem Oilem for this. But this is a Chad Amar v'Chad Amar. But as it relates to the Paris and the Aznia, Chad be Paris, v'Chad be Aznia, one of them the Paris has, the other one the Aznia has, the Isay Baha, Lesser Baha, and the Isay Baha, Lesser Baha. The one that one has, the other one doesn't have, and the one the other doesn't. But here's the Chiddush. I don't know if it's the Paris, and I don't know if it's the Aznia, but one of them has the simon of Tyra that nothing else has. It's not one of the 3 that 20 of the Oifas have, or one of the 2 that the Erev has, or even one of the 1 that the other one has, right? The Paris or the Aznia, the other one. So as it relates to other the Paris, other the Aznia, Chadama, Chadama, one of them has one of the simon of the Tyra that nothing else has. So says the Gemara, oh, if you have one of the Oifas that has a simon of Tyra that nothing else has, and the Tyra is telling me that what? That it's Tame, it's a Maldotema. I would have thought Leilaf Mina. And what are you going to tell me? That would be true if it's the same simon of Tyre that the Torah told me twice. It's still not enough. It's going to be Tame. But I mean that it's a different simon. It's not Shnei Ksuvim Aban Kechad. So therefore, Kos Rachmana Nesher, Torah had no choice. I had to tell me Nesher. Nesher the less like Klal Huda Leitechot. Afkin Nesher has 0 simonim. In Aladit, Ha'ikad the Isleichad. But if you would find a bird that has 1 Echel, you would be allowed to eat it. Bottom line is that's how I know to learn from the Nesher. So again, when you go through the weeds of this Gemara, certainly holding the Cheshbon, right? I think one of the reasons this Gemara is a little bit tricky is because you're juggling simonim of Tumah, simonim of Tyra. And you have to remember the 1, 2, or 3. Is it 1 Tumah, 1 Tyra? Is it 3 Tyra, 3 Tumah? So again, it's a little bit of a mind twister. But at the end of the day, what the Gemara is saying is very posh dazach. What the Gemara is saying is the Nesher is the paradigm of the Oif Tameh. The Tyrin are the paradigm of the Oif Tahar. The Nesher has 0 Simone Taira. The Oif has 4 Simone Taira. The big debate here in the Sugya is, should I learn from the Nesher that you're Tomei if you don't have any Simone Taira? But if you have 1, you're already going to be Tahar. Or should I learn from the Taira, you're Tahar if I have 4 Simone Taira? And I'm going to be Tomei the minute I don't have 1. And at the end of the day, Nailah from this, Nailah from that. Right? We said learn it from the Tairim that have 4 Simone Taira. Learn it from 20 of the 24 that have 3 Simone Taira. Learn from the Oirev that has 2 Simone Taira. Learn from the Paris and Daznia that each have 1 Simone Taira. But at the end of the day, the Gemara says, it only makes sense if you learn from the Nesher. Because if you learn from the Nesher, that the only time you're Tomei is if you have 0 Simone Taira. But if you have 1 Simone Taira, you're Tomei. Then I understand why the Torah told me the other 23 Oifas are Tomei. Because they all have Simone Taira. Again, now we're more familiar with them. 20 of them have 3 Simone Taira. 1 of them has 2 Simone Taira. 2 of them have 1 Simone Taira. But they all have Simone Taira. So as a result, I would have thought that Torah. Kamash, when the Torah has to tell me that really they're going to be Tomei. But if you're going to tell me that you're supposed to learn from the Torah that the only time you're Torah is when you have 4 Simone Taira, but if you don't have 4 Simone Taira, if you find the bird right now, it doesn't have all 4 Simone Taira, it's automatically going to be Tomei. So why does Torah have to tell me that all these 23 other birds are Tomei? Of course they're Tomei, because none of them have the 4 Simone Taira. So Feshtetzich that they're all going to be Tomei. Elamai, it's Muchach. We're sort of backing into the fact that it has to be that the Melamed is the Nesher, it's not the Torah, it's not the 20 Oifis that have 3 Simone Taira, it's not the Oirev that has 2 Simone Taira, and it's not the Paris and the Zniya that has 1 Simone Taira. And that is how we know what Rav Chiya taught us in the Braisa, and that is any Oif that has 1 Simone of Taira is going to be Taira. One last Gemara. Ela Torah, the Kasra Chaman Olam Ali. Why did Torah have to tell me Taira? Right? Tyron has 4 Simone Taira. So, Madach, you're telling me that if you have 3 or 2 or 1, the Hloch is, you're going to be Tar. So, certainly the Tyron that go 4 for 4, Amar Rav Ukva Bar Chama LeKarvin. You want to know why the Torah told me the Halacha of the Tyron? It's to tell me that it's kosher for a carbon. And Chanami, Torah's not telling it to me because I need to know that it's kosher. I need to know that it's kosher on the level that if you wanted to put it on the Mizbeach, this is something that you would be able to put on the Mizbeach. Exhale. So as it relates to raid, returning to not the beginning of today's daf, but me inyan le inyan ba'usa inyan, that is yesterday's daf, going back to the Divrei Agada. Yesterday's daf, we spoke out 2 ha'orois, neflois, from Hagoyin Rav David Yoel Weiss Shlita. And I think it's kedai and geshmak today to speak out another ha'ora. The 2 Ha'aris that we spoke about yesterday, one was from Parshas Bereishis regarding Rabbi Yochanan's memra in the Medrash that says Adam and Chava, when they were born Esrim Shana, they were 20 years old. The second one was from Agadim Chadashim in Parshas Kitzeitze that was Negei the Pasik regarding the Makko, Kiyipel, Hanoifel, and the incredible Rabbeinu Bechaya, which was doubled down by the Chesed Avram, how a person chooses his fate before he comes down on this world. But today, we'll speak out another Ha'ara, Be'ez Hashem, and this is from the Megadim Chadashim in Mesechtes Tainis. As a matter of fact, it's the second piece in Mesechtes Tainis. Tainis, Daf Beis Amar Alef. So the Gemara, on the top of Daf Samach Amar Beis, said Rav Asi Rami. Rav Asi asked the Stira. Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Vatoytzei Ha'aretz Desha. The Pasuk says that on the third day of creation, the land gave forth vegetation. When was that? But klas b'shabata. It happened on the third day of creation. Except the pasuk also says, v'chalsiach asa d'terem yeh ba'aretz. It says that after Adam Rishon was born, nothing had grown yet. And when was that? B'mali Shabbos. That was already Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Because Adam Rishon was born on Erev Shabbos, says Rav Asi, it's a stira. Did the Shon come out on Tuesday, or did they come out on Friday? Says the Gemara Melamed, we learn from the stira sapsukim, sheyatsu d'shon. That really did the Shon wa vatoytzei ha'aretz. However, they were v'amdu al pesach karka. They were literally by the doors way of the karka, Achabal the Marishan, until Adam Marishan came, Ubike Shaleim Rachamim. He didn't farm them. What he did was he davened, V'yarduk Shomim, and it started to rain, V'tzamchu, and that's when everything started to grow. L'lamedcha Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mesavelet Filosin Shal Tzadikim. And the Gemara says, this is the mahalach when it comes to Parnasa. In fact, Rav Nachum Bar Papa had a certain garden, and he once planted, and nothing was growing. And then he said, one tefillah, and boom, everything grew. Because that is the way Parnasa comes. You could do all the shtadlis in the world, but we learn from Adam Marishan that at the end of the day, when Adam Marishan was Bikei Shaleim Rachamim, the Parnasa could be literally by the Pesach of the Karka. And what it's missing, what it's lacking, is that one tefillah that's going to blow the entrance of the door open. And like this, all the hashpois are going to come. The Iyun Yaakov, in his Perush Anein Yaakov, that's of course Rabbi Yaakov Reisha, the Baal Shvus Yaakov, right here in Chulin Daf Samach Amid Beis, he says a Dover Nifla. He says that Mesechtes Taines begins Me'emasai Maskirin Gvurais Gesham. When do we start saying in Shmoyne Esrei Mashav Ruach Umarit Hageshem? And it's Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says what we paskin, and that is on Shmini Atzeres. So on the last day of Sukkot, Rabbi Eliezer is Chayok. Rabbi Eliezer says, when do we start saying Mashav Ruach Umarit Hageshem? It's Yontif Arishon Shal Sukkot. Said the In Yaakov Yesh Loimer Al Pi Mashav Ro Isi Bi Yefei Toyer. I saw in the Yefei Toyer the classic Pirush on the Medrash Rab. Said that we know Rabbi Eliezer's shita is Petishrei Nivra Olam. So it's Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph, when the world was created, what month the world was created. Rabbi Yeshua holds Benisa Nivra Olam. Rabbi Eliezer holds Petishrei Nivra Olam. But shita's Rabbi Eliezer is that Petishrei Nivra Olam. Said the Yefei Toyer, you know what it means, Petishrei Nivra Olam? You ready? You're sitting or you're standing. What it means is that Adam Arishon was born on the first day of Sukkot. And that's why Ulakachtam Lechem B'Yoyim Arishon, it was the first day of Adam Arishon's existence. He was born on the first day of Sukkot. Zok, the Iyun Yaakov, is Lefizei Yesh Loimar, it's Rabbi Eliezer L'shitasa. Rabbi Eliezer that holds that Petishrei Nivra Olam. And what does it mean, Petishrei Nivra Olam? That Adam Arishon was created on the first day of Sukkot. That was the sixth day of creation. And we know that the day that Adam Arishon was created, that's when it rained for the first time. How do you know that? That's Gemara Chulin Daf Samach Amud Beis. Because even though the vegetation had already started to emerge on Yom Shlishi, but it was sitting at the entranceway of the Karka. At Shabbat Adam Arishon, Upike Shaleim Rachamim, V'yardu Geshamim V'tzamchu. So what was the first time somebody said, Mashav Ruach Umayr Dag Hashem? What was the first time somebody said, V'sein Talum Matal Ruach? It was on the first day of Sukkot. And Rabbi Eliezer, therefore, Shitasi says, Me'emasai Maskirin Gvuris Geshamim L'dayres? It's going to be on the first day of Sukkot. It's Rabbi Eliezer L'shitase that holds Betishrei Nivra Olam, which the Yefei Toyer and his peers on the Medrash Rabbah said means that Adam Arishon was born on the first day of Sukkot. The first day of Sukkot, the Gemara says, Chulin Daf Samach Amud Beis, Bikash Aleim Rachmim Adam Arishon V'yarduk Shamim V'tzamchu. So therefore, the Dairos, this would be the day for the Yid to start saying the Saint Talmud of Racha. Rabbi Eliezer Shitasi Oz Betishrei Nivra Olam also holds Me'emasai Maskirin Gvuris Geshamim. It's Miyantiv Arishon Shalchag. It's from the first day of Sukkot. V'divrei Pi Chacham Chen says Hagoyin Rav David Yoyah Weiss Shlita, that Lefi this Yefei Toyer that the Iyun Yaakov brings, that Adam Arishon was born on the first day of Sukkot, says we could have a little bit of fun. It says, number one, if you take a look at the Pirish from Rabbeinu Ephraim. So Rabbeinu Ephraim was one of the Balei Tosfos, and there's a Pirish that we have from Rabbeinu Ephraim ala Torah. On the Pasuk, Ulakachtam Lechem B'yom Arishon, pre-Eitz Hadar, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, pre-Eitz Hadar is Soifei Teves Yetzer. Pre ends with a Yod, Eitz ends with a Tzadik, and Hadar ends with a Reish. In order, Yod Tzadik Reish is Yetzer. For Amru Chazal, who Yetzahara, who Satan, who Malach HaMavis. V'has Satan Goram She'ochlo Chava Esrik. The Satan was Goram that Chava Eda Esrik. L'manda Omar, according to the Mandama that holds that the Eitz Hadas was an Esrik. So we know that's a big machlokes and Gemara and a Medrash, what exactly the fruit of the Eitz Hadas was. What was the forbidden fruit? But there's a Mandama that says that it was an esrik. Says Rabbeinu Ephraim, if that's the case, it's so meduyik. Pre-Eitz Hadar is Noifei Tevis Yetzer. Because what's the pre-Eitz Hadar? It's the esrik. And the Eitz Hadar is what God, Adam and Chava, to eat from the esrik. And you know what the Torah tells us to do? We should go ahead and we should bring an esrik on Sukkot. Yavai esrik v'yichaper al esrik. Let the esrik come and let the esrik be mechaper on the esrik. A medrash pliya, but this is what Rabbeinu Ephraim says. That pre-Eitz Hadar is Noifei Tevis Yetzer. Because the Eitz Hadar caused Adam and Chava, the original sin, to eat from the Eitz Hadas. What was the Eitz Hadas? It was an esrik. That's why Yetzer's merum is in the pre-Eitz Hadar, which is the esrik. And what's the oimik? Bring an esrik to be mechaper on the esrik. Now, poshit, okay, yavai esrik, mechaper on esrik makes a lot of sense. But why are you doing it on Sukkos? What's sheiches? Ulakachtam lechem b'yoyim harishim pre-Eitz Hadar. Aber lefidi yafei toyer zokrib david yoyo weiss. That even Yaakov brings a chul and daf samach chomet beis. That when was Adam Arishan born? He was born on the first day Sukkot. And we know on the first day of Sukkot, that's when Adam Arishan ate from the Eitz Hadas. So today was the day that he ate from the Eitz Hadas. You're doing tshuva ba'is hashah. This is mamish the day that he did it. It's Yavai Esrik. V'yichaper al Esrik on the day that Adam Arishan ate from the Esrik. It's mamish hafalik. Brings another maramakim. The other maramakim is Rabbeinu Bechaya, or like we mentioned the other day, Rabbeinu Bachya. And this is also on the Pasuk, Ach b'yom harishon l'chodesh ha'shvi'i ba'aspechem. It's in Parashas Emor, the Pesukim that talk about Sukkos. One excerpt. V'yaskir sham chukei Yisrael, she'yachoygu chag Hashem shivas yom b'zmanu asifat. The Yidden were told that they should celebrate the Yontem of Sukkos 7 days during the harvest season. V'sheyitlu boi mitzvas ha'lulav. And they should take a lulav l'chaper al kilkuloi shel avinu harishon. To be mechaper for the chet of avinu harishon. Who's avinu harishon? Not Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avinu harishon is Adam harishon. Interesting, right? Avinu harishon. Where do you find Adam harishon is called Avinu? I mean, technically it is, of course. Shahoyo bizman hazeh. Because that chet took place bizman hazeh. Vizel she samach lo miyad ulakachtum lachem. Vizel nirali loch. So says Rabbeinu Bechai very mysteriously that you want to know why we go ahead and we celebrate the yontif and we take the dalet minim. She yitlu by mitzvahs halulav lechaper al kilkuloi shalavinu arishon shahoyo bizman hazeh. So, Krip David Yoel Weiss. Poship shot. What does Rabbeinu Bechai mean? What does the Bachya mean when he says bizman hazeh? So he says, if you take a look, the Taisyantiv wrote a pirish on Rabbeinu Bachya. It's called Tuftam. And in his pirish, he says, Bezman hazeh, zoysay meres, lemanda amar betishrei nivra ha'olam. So it means that the chet happened around this time because Adam Arishin ate from the Eitz Hadas on the day that he was born. And he was born b'chodesh Tishrei. So it's bizman hazeh. But the feed is yafei toyer that the Iyun Yaakov brings on our sugya chun daf samach chomet beis. It's so much more geschmack bizman hazeh. Bizman hazeh means today. Because Adam Arishin was born b'yoyim Arishin on the first day of Sukkot. And on that day he ate from the Eitz Hadas. So it's lechaper al kilkuloi shel avinu harishin. It happened literally on this day. I just want to hit the pause button for 1 second. Let's just meditate on this chiddush. So we have a chiddush that the Iyun Yaakov brings from the Yafei Toyer and his pirush on the Iyun Yaakov, Chulun Daf Samech Amud Beis, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, that Petishrei Nivra Ha'olam, when was Adam Arishon born? Adam Arishon was born on the first day of Sukkos, which means, by the way, when was the world created? So going backwards, right? He was world's creator Yom Kippur. Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tesvav. So the world was created on the Yom HaKudosh. Why is it such a chiddush? Petishrei Nivra Ha'olam. So I don't know, when you know what day it was created. So the day was created, Yom HaKudosh, sounds like a good day for it to be created. And Tesvav, first day of Sukkot, and these are big momentous days. The reason the chiddush is, it's because it's not like the Rishonim. The Rishonim in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, the Ran is the Maramakim brings that there was a minig in Europe by the Bali Tosfos. They would say slichas during Chodesh Elul, and they would start on Chaf Hei Elul. And the reason is because they had a Messiah that according to the Mandama that holds B'tishrei Nivra Ha'olam, the world was created on Chaf Hei Elul. Which means that when was Adam Arishon created? He was born when? On the first day of Tishrei, on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. And he ate from the Eis Hadas on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, says the Ran, and he sinned, and David should have judged him, and that's why the first day of Rosh Hashanah goes down as the Yom HaDin. It goes down at the day of judgment, because that's the Adam Rishon ate from the Eis Hadas, and that's the day that he was judged. Hayoyim haras oylam, hayoyim yamid ba'mishpat kol yitzuri haylamim ki yudua b'svar makdoshim. But the bottom line is, Pasha, you learn the world was created on Chafei Elul, and Adam Rishon was born. He was born on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. He was born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. But the Inyakus said, Ro'isi from the Yefei Toyah, that's not what happened. But rather, the world was created on Yom Kippur, on Yud Tishrei. Adam Rishon was born on the first day of Sukkot. The Inyakus said, oh, the fees, that's very geschmack. Rebbe Eliezer L'shitasoi holds in Tainus da Bezam at Aleph, Me'imasai Maskir and Gvuris Geshamim, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, it's Yontem Arishan Sholchag, because Adam Arishan, the day he was born, Davin and it rained, based on the Gemara Chulun Dav Samach, and Rabbi David Yoyo Weiss, Teltzu, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbeinu Bachi, respectively, that seem to connect the mitzvahs of Sukkot, the Esring and the Dalal Minim, to being Mechaper on the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. It's very Geshmak, because this is the day of it. Bezman Hazeh, not the same Chodesh. Bezman Hazeh, literally, that's when the chet took place, and it's so geshma. But the bottom line is a tremendous chiddush, because it's really deloy karishain. Lamaisa, Rav David Yoyo Weiss says that he tried finding this yefei tayar, and he said, I couldn't find it. Omnam etzem hadavar shehevi. He said, I couldn't find it. I looked high and low, and I couldn't find it. He said, but I did find the yesod somewhere else. He said, I found it in the Sefer Zerach Berach Shlishi. I found it in the Sefer Zerach Berach Shlishi. This is a Kadmonish Sefer. Shehevi came. The other Marishain Nivra B'yei Marishain Desokes. B'zal L'shoinai. He says, Mashach HaSavnu Le'il, the other Marishain Nivra B'Rosh Hashanah B'Echad B'Tishrei. Shamati Hakdoma Nifla. Says the Zerach Berach Shlishi. It's a Sefer, by the way, that the Chidah quotes a lot. He said, I found it in this Sefer. I found this idea of Eloi Hemanti Acher Isi B'Einai. I saw something I couldn't believe until I saw it in my own eyes. V'huva B'Sefer Pesach Oil. It brings it from a Sefer called Pesach Oil. Sheyesh B'Medrash Dei Achas. The Adam Arishin never be Arishin the Sukkis. So the Zerach Berach Shlishi is the one who brings this. And he says, I heard about this, but I didn't believe it until I saw it. But then I saw it. I had no choice. I had to believe it. And I couldn't believe it. Adam Arishin was created on the first day of Sukkis. The Isa Medrash, and what's the makar to this? Listen what the Sefer said. The Hevel lo yhoyu ba'olam ki imin achag v'ad chanukah. It's a Bereishis Rabba Perichav Beis Dalet. Hevel, as in the son of Adam, lived from Chag, from Sukkot until Chanukah. So this Yid asked the Kasha. He said, v'biyoyim shenivra Adam noilet Hevel v'achiv Kayin. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Cain and Hevel were born the day that Adam Arishon was born. Vim Cain lefizeh, Havelei loymar. You know what the Medrash should have said? Shaya ba'olam, that Hevel was in the world min Rosh Hashanah v'ad Chanukah. Why is saying that he was only in the world from Sukkot until Chanukah? He was already alive Rosh Hashanah, because if Adam Arishon was born, like the Rishonim say on Echa b'Tishrei, and Cain and Hevel were born on the day that Adam Arishon was born, albeit several hours later, so that means Hevel was in the world from Rosh Hashanah until Chanukah. Why isn't Minachak Elishmamina to Adam Arishon Nivra Biyom Rishon the Sukkis? He was first born on the first day of Sukkis. V'zeu siyua l'man da'amad Eitz Hadas Esrikayo. And this is a geshmak of siyua to the man da'amad that holds Eitz Hadas was an Esrik. The b'chag nitztava al mitzvahs Esrik. It's so geshmak that it was an Esrik, because it comes out it all happened on the same day. So said Rav David Yoyo Weiss, the Inyaku brings up the Yefei Tayar. I couldn't find it in the Yefei Tayar, but I did find it in the Sefer Zerah Berach Shlishi. And then Rav David Yoyo Weiss says only something he could say, and that is, I don't know, but Lulei de Mistafina, I saw that Rabbi Yaakov Reish, the Baal Yaakov, he gave a haskama on the Sefer Zerah Berach Shlishi, and he writes in the haskama that he went through the Sefer, and I found in different places in the Svarim of Rabbi Yaakov Reish, he quotes the Sefer Zerah Berach Shlishi. So he says, I don't know if it's in the Yefei Tayar somewhere, I didn't find it, or maybe Rabbi Yaakov Reish thought he found it in the Yefei Tayar, really saw in the Sefer Berach Shlishi, because it's a Sefer I know he knew. He quotes it a lot. He even gave a haskama on the Sefer. This is classic of Rabbi Yoyo Weiss, where only he does what he could do. But the bottom line is, this is the Torah. The Torah is that Adam Arishon, the Messiah is, was created on Rosh Hashanah. The world was created on Chafei Il, Laman, Da Amar, B'Tishrei Nivra Olam. 6 days later, Adam Arishon was created, and that was on Rosh Hashanah. Stating that, the Zerah Berach Shlishi, the Inyakov brings up from the Yefei Tayar, said, Shamati Hakdoma Nifla, V'lei Amanti Acher Isi Be'inai. I heard this Hakdoma Nifla. I didn't believe it until I saw it, but then I saw it, and then I believed it. And that is based on a medrash that says Hevel was alive from Sukkot until Chanukah. Why from Sukkot until Chanukah? He should have been alive from Rosh Hashanah until Chanukah. There it is. Because Ulekachtem lechem b'yom rishon. That first day was not the first day of Tishrei. It was the first day of Sukkot. That's when Adam Rishon was born. That's when Kain Hevel was born. And Umamatim says Reb W. Weiss Lefizeh, and it's come out Mefurish in the Zera Berach Shlishi, that that's why you find the Esrig pre-Eitz Hadar, so if it tevis Yetzer Yovei Esrig v'yechaper al Esrig. And Rabbeinu Bachya says that we bring the Dal Minim to be mechaper bizman azel, because this was the time of the Aver. It's not just the time of the Aver, it's in the same month. It's in the same zip code. It's the time of the Aver, because it was literally that day. Adam Rishon was born on the first day of Sukkot. That was when the Chet of the Eitz Hadas happened, and it's because of that we bring the Esrig and the Dalad Minim on that day to go ahead and be Mechaper. But just to be Messiah with one Hoysafa, I think it's Pashat, I'll pee all this rain, and that is, it's Yodua and all the Svarim HaKadoshim, that the Svarim HaKadoshim say that Rosh Hashanah, Aser Simei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur as Manim of Tshuva. Sukkot is also as Man of Tshuva. During the Aser Simei Tshuva, and of course, the climax of that is Yom Kippur, a Yid does tshuva miyira. But then on Sukkot, the Yid does tshuva miyahava. Everyone knows the Vart from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak from Barditchev, the Heilige Kedishas Levi, who said that the Pasuk says, Ulekachtem lechem b'yom rishon. And Chazal say, what does it mean b'yom rishon? Rishon lechesh ben avoynos. It's the day that we start counting averes. So Pashup Shad is, because on Yom Kippur, the Yid gets slichu mechila, and then the next few days, you're too busy preparing tmiyantiv, you can't even do an aver. The first day you can go back to doing averes is on Sukkot. So Sukkot is rishon lechesh ben avoynos. But the Heilige Kedishas Levi said, that what's the oymek of rishon lechesh ben avoynos? It's because when a Yid does tshuva miyira, it's doinus, nasus, shkogis. But when a Yid does tshuva miyahava, this doinus are nasu, zochios. All the averis that he did become mitzvahs. So when a Yid is zoicha to do tshuva miyahava on Sukkot, he says, you know something? I want to sit down now. I want to count all my averis. Because all my averis, all my liabilities just shifted to the other side of my balance sheet. Now they're all assets. Now they're all nechosim. And you start counting. I did this avera. I did that avera. We always speak out from the Beis Medrash of the Hilgach Chassam Sofer how real the concept of Tshuva Me'ahava was. How the Chassam Sofer says if someone eats Nevela and then he does Tshuva Me'ahava, he's going to go up to Shemayim, they're going to give him Schar as if he ate from the Korban Pesach. He says if somebody goes to Batei Tartiyos, to Batei Karkisois, he's going to go up to Shemayim and they're going to tell him, you know, you're going to get Schar because that, remember that night? You sat in Beis Medrash the whole night? You'd be like, I did? Yep, you did. You remember? And you finished the Masechta and another Masechta. You're like, might be a mistake an identity, but I'm going to run with it, right? Your lawyer's like kicking you under the table, don't say a word, right? But either way, you're going to go, and in the world of the Chassam Sofer, this was so real, we've gone through this so many times. But the bottom line is, that there's an idea of Tshuva Me'ahava's Doinus Nasus Chuyus. So the Heilige Kedishas Levi said that, Rishon Lechesh Ben Avoinus, because on Sukkot he does Tshuva Me'ahava, and when you do Tshuva Me'ahava, all your Averis suddenly become mitzvahs, and as a result, you start counting your Averis, because you're so excited, yes, I did another, I forgot about that Averis, boom, I get that one also, because to the fact that you just went ahead and did Tshuva Me'ahava. He did it on the first day of Sukkot. What did Adam Rishon get? He ate from the Eitz Hadas. There's a man Dama that holds that what was the Eitz Hadas? It was an asterisk. What were we zoicha to on that day? We were zoicha to a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is ulekachtum lechem b'yom rishon pri Eitz Hadar. Take that esrig which was the Avera, that esrig which was the Eitz Hadas, and go ahead now and use that as a mitzvah. This is the ultimate of Zdoinus Nasus Choyes, the Eitz Hadas, which is the ultimate Kateger. You would think, ain't Kateger Nasus Anegra? You're crazy, you're bringing an asterisk? You'd bring anything other than an asterisk. Oh, but the terrace is, because when the Yid does Tshuva Me'ahava, and that's this man of Sukkot, it's Zdoinus Nasus Choyes, and we know Adam Rishon did Tshuva, and he started doing Tshuva right away, right? 130 years of Tshuva, and 930 years of Tshuva. Right, when we speak out the Ramah says, why is Tumas Ziva white, and Tumas Nida is red? It's because im yu chatoechem kashonim kashela galbinu. Adam Rishon did tshuva, so the red became white. But Chava never did tshuva, and that's why the red never became white. Vadvarim atikim, but Adam Rishon did tshuva, and this was therefore a zman that was hukva to be able to do tshuva. It's Pasha Adam Rishon's tshuva was the tshuva of Adam Rishon. It was a tshuva me'ahava. This becomes a zman of tshuva me'ahava. Tshuva me'ahava is doinus nasus schuyos. It's a day that the Heilige Baditchev said, Rishon Lechesh Ben Avoinus, we start counting our Averis. If we're going to start counting our Averis, and we're going to fangom for nomfang, I think the place to start is with the Eitz Hadas. And that's where it all begins. We take the Eitz Hadas, which was the ultimate sin. But on that day, that Eitz Hadas becomes a mitzvah. the Esrig goes from being the symbol of Chet to being the Pre-Eitz Hadar, that we're mechaviv, and we make it as beautiful as possible. Because that Cheftza Shel Aveira today is going to be the most beautiful thing in the world. I mean, where else does it say in the Torah Hadar? It says it by the Esrig, and it's the Aveira. That's what it was at its core. It's not just Yavai Esrig V'Yichaper Al Esrig, like the Rishonim say. It's more, it's deeper than that. The original Esrig that we had, now all of a sudden, becomes the Pre-Eitz Hadar. You take the Soifei Tevis of Yetzer, oh, but the Roshet Tevis is Pre-Eitz Hadar. We could take our Yetzer and turn it into a Pre-Eitz Hadar. That's the avoid of Tshuva Me'ahava, of Zdoinus Nasu Schuyas. That's exactly what's happening on the first day of Sukkot, and like the Hilug of Adichavim was Megala to us. That is the day of Tshuva Me'ahava. I think it's Poshet, Al Pi Anal, all this raid and all this Machshava, and we will stop here.